Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
God says, I placed you, the spirit man, in the heart, because the mind is contrary to the will of God, and it's up to the spirit man to gain control of this flesh and guide this abominable flesh down this narrow path. But there's a veil of innocence that you pass through when you come from God's kingdom and you're placed into the womb. You forget it all, but it's all still there. Once you find your way back to God, it will come back. You'll understand. Holy Spirit will come in and resurface things, just inner knowledge, things that your soul remembers and knows, the peace, the comfort, the desire to draw close to God. It's not about fleshly wealth. You make it about fleshly wealth. When you expire in this flesh, you will go on to some place you don't want to be. Chapter 43, book of Jeremiah. Now, we have 44, God said what he would do. 43, he said what he'd do if you go to Egypt. 44, he's reiterating that. And in 46, he's explaining what I told you about they were so afraid of Nebuchadnezzar, they wanted to go to Egypt. He's going to explain that portion there, the ironic part. If you're running from your fears, you have no faith in God, you run from your fears will catch you. God will see to it, because you must have faith in him, especially if he's told you he will protect you, and he has. Don't fear this life any way, shape, or form. Walk through this life boldly in the name of Jesus Christ. No fears. I know it's hard to do. Even John the Baptist feared in his last days and doubted in his last days because the weariness of the body. We talked about that a long time. All things in moderation. Keep your spiritual man healthy through fasting and prayer and an ongoing relationship with God, a daily communication. You let this body get overly tired. Prophet of God, one day you'll be killing the 400 prophets of Baal. The next day you're going to run for your life because you got overly tired. Your spirit man went to sleep because your flesh was in torment. Keep everything in moderation. And your spirit man must rule this flesh body that you're in. Chapter 46, the word of the Lord, which came to Jeremiah the prophet against the Gentiles, against Egypt, against the army of Pharaoh Necho, king of Egypt, which was by the river Euphrates in Carchemish, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, smote in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, king of Judah. Order ye the buckler and the shield, and draw near to battle. Harness the horses, and get ye up, ye horsemen, and stand forth with your helmets. Furbish the spears, and put on the brigandines coats of mail armor. Wherefore have I seen them dismayed and turned away back, and their mighty ones are beaten down and are fled apace? And look not back, for fears was round about, saith the Lord. Let not the swift flee away, nor that mighty man escape, which shall stumble and fall toward the north by the river Euphrates. Who is this that cometh up as a flood, whose waters are moved as the rivers? Egypt riseth up like a flood, and his waters are moved like the rivers. And he saith, I will go, and I will cover the earth. I will destroy the city and the inhabitants thereof. Come up, ye horses, and rage, ye chariots, and let the mighty men come forth, the Ethiopians and the Libyans that handle the shield, and the Lydians that handle and bend the bow. This is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance, that he may avenge him of his adversaries, and the sword shall devour, and shall be satiate, and made drunk with their blood, for the Lord God of hosts hath a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up unto Gilead and take balm, O virgin, daughter of Egypt. In vain shalt thou use many medicines, for thou shalt not be cured. The nations have heard of thy shame, and thy cry hath filled the land, for the mighty man hath stumbled against the mighty, and they are fallen both together. The word of the Lord spake to Jeremiah the prophet, how Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, should come and smite the land of Egypt. That's basically what the last seven verses say. And so many beautiful and eloquent ways that God chooses. And if you dissect all of those, you will find so many things. Go to the different nationalities that are coming. You'll see reasons for those nationalities also to be smited. Verse 14, declare ye in Egypt and publish in Migdol, the publish in Noph, and the Typhonese say, stand fast and prepare thee, for the sword shall devour round about thee. Why are thy valiant men swept away? They stood not because the Lord did drive them. He made many to fall, yea, one fell upon another. And they said, arise and let us go again to our own people, to the land of our nativity, from the oppressing sword. They did cry there, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, is but a noise. He hath passed the time appointed. God has no further use for the land of Egypt. And we see a large history with the Hebrews in the land of Egypt. And it started with Joseph going there, being appointed governor, God, for the preservation of the Hebrew line. And actually, you catch other earlier episodes, you'll find that after Joseph was done, the nation of Egypt basically followed God. It was a nice, beautiful place for the Hebrews to sojourn for several hundred years, until different pharaohs came that knew not Joseph and the story of everything. All they seen is the fact that there's a bunch of foreigners in our land who are outbreeding us. They appear to be stronger and more masculine than we are, and at any time they can take us over. So one of the last pharaohs said, we got to get him out of here. But then he dies before he can do that. The next one says, now, why get rid of them? Let's make servants of them. We're going to put them to work. They're going to build cities. We're going to make it so hard for them that they won't be able to prosper and they won't be able to continue bearing children. God is done with Egypt now. There was a couple more tasks that he needs. He's got one more coming up with his son. But after the Exodus, the only thing God had to do with Egypt was to tell his children not to go back there. Do not look behind you, Christian. If you have found Jesus Christ and his perfect salvation, never look back. If you've been brought out of bondage, the bondage of Egypt, never look back. And he used Egypt as a tool to show them, because there were a couple groups that went back. God said, you go back, you'll die. He has one more use for Egypt. When his son is born, he needs to sojourn there for a couple years because they are hot on his trail. When the Magi come, they stop at Herod's place. You know, the modern day nativity scene is all wrong. Mm-hmm. They didn't find him on the day of his birth. They stopped by Herod's, mm-hmm. king of Judea at the time, appointed by Rome. They said, where is the king of the Jews born under the star that we saw appear about 2 years ago?
Star's here, he's here. But go ahead.
Yeah, we saw his star. It appeared about 2 years ago. Oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Yes, it does. Because when Herod left, he told him, when you find the child, come and tell me where he's at. So they left, and Herod sent soldiers into the area of Bethlehem to kill all children 2 years and younger, because they seen the star. Mm-hmm. They analyzed it. They knew of astronomy and the sciences and the black arts and the magic arts, and they knew exactly what this was. King of the Jews was born under the star. And it took them some time to get prepared and to come. I think probably a year and a half, because Herod probably stretched it out. Between a year and a half, it took them to get there. We've seen his star. If it had been, we've seen a star, it appeared tonight, mm-hmm. Herod would have went and had all the brand new babies born killed. Mm-hmm. He says, go and kill all children 2 years old and younger. Because there's a window there. But God had moved the child. It's most likely the Magi found the child in Egypt. And it wasn't three wise men.
Yeah, yeah.
This was the remnant, magicians, and the Chaldeans. Daniel was placed in charge of, and they traveled with a heavy military presence. They were called kingmakers because they knew what the stars meant. These things just didn't happen that one time. There were other kings born under other signs from the heavens. And these men knew it. And wherever they traveled, they were not resisted in any way, shape, or form. They would travel across nations, and the militaries in those nations would allow them to go through. They would come for a purpose to anoint someone king. And they came here, you see. The Romans didn't bother them. That was a military company. It wasn't these three men and three camels. They had a military presence with them. They came and they went right to the king. Who can just do that?
Right.
What caravan driver can go up and have an audience with the king? These men had papers. They were known throughout the known world. Mm-hmm. What they represented, like I said, Daniel had been the king over them. Nebuchadnezzar had placed him above all the magicians and the Chaldeans. The soothsayers, the magi, and if you know Daniel, I guarantee you he prepared them for this day hundreds of years later, like he did with Darius and the scroll. So much in this Bible that you don't get from modern day Christianity. But like I said, they most likely found him in Egypt, a place God said never return back to as a Hebrew or you will die. And I do believe he had made that such an imminent threat that the Hebrews wouldn't even look for him there. We go back to Egypt, we die. We've seen this happen many times. God said so. What better place to hide than in Egypt? Got a little rabbit trail there. Verse 19. Let's go to verse 18. As I live, saith the king, whose name is the Lord of hosts, surely as Tabor is among the mountains, and as Carmel by the sea, so shall he come. O thou daughter dwelling in Egypt, furnish thyself to go into captivity, for Noph shall be waste and desolate without an inhabitant. Egypt is like a very fair heifer, but destruction cometh. It cometh out of the north. Also her hired men are in the midst of her like fatted bullocks. They also are turned back, and they fled away together. They did not stand, because the day of their calamity was come upon them, and the time of their visitation. Nothing you can do when God calls vengeance on your nation. I don't care how powerful your military is, Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. When Nebuchadnezzar's time comes, when his son's time comes, the most powerful military in the world is overtaken overnight. When God says it, it has to happen, Christian. The voice thereof shall go like a serpent, for they shall march with an army and come against her with axes as hewers of wood. They shall cut down her forest, saith the Lord, though it cannot be searched, because they are more than the grasshoppers and are innumerable. Hey, those forests are not trees. Their people shall be cut down, even though they are like the sand of the sea, almost uncountable. Mm-hmm. But the Almighty God has said it's going to happen. There are a lot of hows and whys. If you're a historian, you know, Israel never modernized. I mean, Egypt never modernized its military. They're still wearing bamboo armor and carrying spears. Persia had quite the military prowess. The daughter of Egypt shall be confounded. She shall be delivered into the hand of the people of the north. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saith, behold, I will punish the multitude of No and Pharaoh and Egypt with their gods and their kings, even Pharaoh and all them that trust in him. Yes, and Egypt had it coming in other ways, because at one time After Joseph, the entire nation worshipped God. It was never just the God of the Jews. They were the special line to bring forth Messiah. God had covenants with all peoples. Like I said earlier, when Joseph came, Pharaoh was a young boy. He says, I've become a father to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh talks about his almighty God, the almighty God of Joseph. And I will deliver them into the hand of those that seek their lives, and into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, into the hand of his servants. And afterward it shall be inhabited as in the days of old, saith the Lord. Shall be inhabited as in the days of the old. What he's referring to there, when Joseph got to Egypt, it was a very, very impoverished nation. Very poor. Pharaoh didn't own anything. It was all privately owned farms. Very little wealth. Just getting by like a, you know, what comes to mind of these poor African nations now. They just barely exist. What he's referring to. It had become a world power, mostly through Joseph's governance. Egypt became very wealthy. By the time the famine was over, Joseph had purchased everything in the land for Pharaoh. He owned all the land, all the grain, all the animals, and even all the people.
And had a stockpile of supplies.
Owned everything. Verse 27, but fear not thou, O my servant Jacob, and be not dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save thee from afar off, and thy seed from the land of their captivity, and Jacob shall return and be in the rest and at ease, and none shall make him afraid. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full end of all the nations, whether I have driven thee, but I will not make a full end of thee, but correct thee in measure. Yet will I not leave thee wholly unpunished. Now, there's a lot of duality there, because he's gone from the last few verses telling this remnant that wants to go to Egypt what's going to happen to them, because they feared Nebuchadnezzar. They're going to Egypt, so he's going to send Nebuchadnezzar down to squash Egypt. So their greatest fears are going to come true anyway. Then he goes, 28, and says, but those of you who have been carried off into Babylon, fear not, for I will bring you out one day, and I will bless you again one day. And the duality there is also, I will not make a full end of thee, correct thee in measure, yet will I have to leave thee wholly unpunished. He goes right to after 70 AD, when they were scattered into the winds. I'm going to read it again. Fear thou not, O Jacob, my servant, saith the Lord, for I am with thee, for I will make a full, I will make a full end of all the nations, whether I have driven thee. At that point, they were taken away captive into Babylon. In 70 AD, they were driven into all the nations of the world, to the four winds. You got to look at every line and every sentence. So much in this book. The majesty of this book is incredible. You could read it over and over and over and over and over again, and all of a sudden there's something else there. Majesty. I only wish I knew Hebrew and Greek so that I could look at this magnificent manuscript in its perfection. Because in its perfection, it will tell volumes and volumes so far beyond the simplicity of this English language that we have to read it in. Been a wild ride. Read this book. God says there are mysteries in this book, and you have to devour this book to get them. He says, it does my heart good that kings search out the mysteries in my book. Been with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines. A wild ride in Jeremiah today. Enjoy it. It's the Word of God. He's the God of love, the God of joy. Just dive in there and have a good time. We'll catch you next time.
Amen.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.